You have not said that we've had to do it all on our own without your mercy and without your grace. You came to us in a powerful and mighty way. And Lord, there is just nothing that we can necessarily say or do except for offer our gratefulness. And Lord, that's all you've never requested more, but for us to come with grateful hearts, expecting to hear from you. And so, Lord, we do. We come before you today expecting to hear from you. Maybe not from the people who are up here, or the songs we sing, or the program we watch, but Lord, just that you will speak to each one of our hearts individually. We come before you seeking and wanting to hear with grateful hearts. In your name I pray, amen. Well, it's hard to not take a day like this serious. Yeah. Pastor John and I were talking this week that sometimes for some of us, it's hard not to take this stuff serious because it is, it's a sobering time to think about what took place on that day. But I'm going to come from a different aspect today in some ways. I'm not going to go through just the traditional story because I have caught the belief that my father has that it shouldn't just be one holiday a year that you're doing this and observing this, and I do believe that. So I'm not going to take you through the whole story from death to resurrection because honestly, if we're not going through that multiple times throughout the year, we have a little self-evaluating to do. It's something that we should be looking at constantly. His death, his burial, his resurrection for us, because in it holds the life that he has for us and the freedom that he has for us. And I was talking to Audrey this morning, and it's just, you know, like I said, some of us take it so serious. It's hard to choose the songs to sing or what you're going to say because there's so much to it. And what song fully describes what we feel and what we believe and our heart. I mean, just we do our best. And those songs were perfect and led us through that day. But what songs can fully express what's going on in our heart? How can I get up here and fully express what all was contained in that day? We can't do it. But we do our best. And like I said, we just take it serious. And sometimes we walk around here and people go, wow, you're really serious. And yes, we do, because we find our relationship with Jesus to be a serious thing, to be a precious thing, because we know that the power that's in it can set people free. And I don't know about you, but we all know people that are going through hard things, and the only solution is going to be that the veil is lifted from their eyes and that they see Jesus for who he truly is. And so we take it serious. And so today, I'm not going through the whole story. I really encourage you to do that in your time. John's a great book to do it. John is passionate as he describes the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. He is passionate about it. He adds feeling and emotion to it. Or maybe Matthew and Mark are a little bit more factual, and this is what happens, and this is what we did. John feels it. And he's a great example of the love of our Father. Because sometimes, I was telling the youth group this week, they are fortunate in that they have some awesome tools to depict the life of Jesus. When I was a kid, and I'm sure some of you can agree, we had flannographs and cheesy cartoons. And you're like, this is my God. Okay. This is who I serve, this nice little cartoon character who was born on a very special day of Christmas and lived this life and then was tortured and then got up and everything was fine. And it doesn't, man, when Jesus came, he suffered with and for us because he loved us intensely. And John gets to briefly describe that in an intense way, the love that Jesus has for us, and he joins him in that. So in John chapter 19, verse 28 through 30, it says later, so this is Jesus has been on the cross, he has been tortured, he has gone through the walk up to the hill. He's gone through people rejecting him. Peter has denied him. Peter was never going to deny him. Peter denies him three times. Judas has betrayed him. All these things have happened. He's on the cross. He has suffered. He is suffering. He is going through all of it for our, and thinking of you and me. You know what I talked about in youth this last week? You know what I find so beautiful about Jesus being in the garden before Judas came and betrayed him was he is in deep grief for what's about to happen. And you think, why would he be in grief? He knew from the time he was 12 what his job was to do. He had read it in the temple and he goes, oh, this is me. This is what I'm going to do. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that his life was going to end in a dramatic way and in death for our sins. He knew it. And yet in the garden, we see him pleading with God and saying, if there's any other way, please, Lord, let's do it that way. Why? Because he didn't want to die for our sins? No. Because he knew the effect it was going to have on his friends, his family, for generations to come. We are still arguing and fighting over the life and death of Jesus to this day. He knew that in it held salvation, but he knew in it held a lot of controversy. In it held a lot of discussions. In it held a lot of fights between families and friends and nations. He didn't go to the cross just going, this is just what I have to do. He went to knowing that in it was the power to set us free, and yet at the same time was going to cause a whole lot of other stuff to come up. And he grieved for us, so much so that he was irritated with his friends that they weren't more alert for the things that were about to happen. And I feel that word stirring in my heart this week. We got to be alert for the things that. That does not mean live in fear. That does not mean, oh, we're going to be. No, but we need to be alert of the things that were going to come. So he's on the cross. He is suffering. It says later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, the prophecies that have been spoken for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years at this point were going to be fulfilled. Jesus said, I'm thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, which I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound refreshing. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. That phrase to a lot of us could sound like defeat. But I read a commentary this week that I have to agree with that says it was actually a victory cry. That it was finished. What he came to this earth to do, he did. It was finished. And in Greek, that word is tetelestai. It is finished. And that phrase holds the exact power to set you and me free. And we read it sometimes as just, it is finished, and he passes away, and that's it, and end of story. But in that phrase is power that radically changed your life and my life. It is a victory cry, not a resignation. Jesus' mission is complete. Scripture has been fulfilled. Atonement is accomplished, and victory is achieved. And I could not agree with those things more. He came to break the pattern that we had been in for years and years and years. He came to break that old covenant and to make a new one. All those things have been achieved now. All those things have been done. The price that you and I should have been paying, he paid for us. Atonement was done, and victory was ours. Victory was ours. Today I'm going to ask you to allow me to express one other personal observation of this phrase. Have you ever been traveling? We just got back from a road trip, and this didn't happen. We actually did really great this road trip. But have you ever been a parent or as a child, and you've been either watching your kids fight ridiculously, or you've been in a fight, and finally the adult in the room goes, that's enough. And you think that's going to be enough, but it's not. And you say, that's enough. We're done. And see, that's kind of what Jesus was doing. That's enough. The way you've been trying to do this, the old covenant, working your way, making your sacrifices, holding over the law, over one another's heads, and keeping everybody checked and balanced, it's enough. It's done. You thinking, I got to pay my way. I got to be good enough. I got to ask for forgiveness. I got to do all these things over and over. I got to pay for my own sins. It's enough. It's done. I got an uphill battle to get to heaven. I got an uphill battle to have a relationship with God. No, it's enough. It's done. Only he says it far more compassion than I can muster up in my life. I'm that mom that goes, that is enough. And then I give a look. Get it together. That's not Jesus. It's finished. It's done. We're done. We've won. The battle is over. And yet, how often do we try to go back to what he set us free from? He came to set us free from the law of sin and death. And yet, how often do I go, that's great, Jesus. Thank you so much for doing that. But I actually think I want to do it on my own merit. See, we don't say it like that. We don't say, no, Jesus, thanks for what you've done. Thanks for that ultimate price. Thanks for the atonement that you made for me. But I think I'll do it on my own. We don't say it that way, but we live our lives that way. Pastor John's always talking about, you laid your old man down. Your old man died with Christ. You were a new man. And how many times did we go pick up that old man and say, the old man would do it, like, I got to work my way into grace. I have to work my way into salvation. I want to get there by my own merit. I want to get there because I'm a good person. Red flag. When I meet with people and the first thing they say is, I'm a good person. Red flag. Doesn't matter if you've been perfect your entire life. You were born into a world full of sin. You need Jesus. And we'll never be able to get there on our own merit. And we'll never be able to, but yet we pick up that old belief and say, thank you for what you've done on the cross. We all come here. We believe we could have this great moment today. And then we go live our lives going, if I just do it right, if I just make the right choices all the time, never fail, don't slip up, if I never say a mean thing to someone, if I never have a fight with someone, if I never condemn someone, I'll be fine. No, it will never get you to where you belong. It was only through what Christ did. And we think sometimes it's noble to live that way. Sometimes we think it's honorable to live that way. When I'm going to challenge you and say this today, it is actually completely disrespectful to what Christ did for us. To say thank you for this gift of salvation. I think I'll do it on my own though. When he said, I have said it is finished enough. There's no reason to go back to the old way. There's no reason to hold this unattainable, unachievable law over your head and then go hold it over the heads of everyone around you. It's finished. And see, we read in the Bible that people talk about, so that what does this mean? We can go live our life however we want to live? May it never be. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, I have paid the price to free you to go be you. And that means to go love freely. To go love the very one that betrays you. You can love and forgive. Because I've taken that on. You're just free to go and be an example of the mercy and grace that we see our Heavenly Father display for us time and time again. We're free to go make mistakes? Yeah, sure, if that's the way you perceive it. Or you're free to go live boldly proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, knowing there's nothing I could do in my own power to gain acceptance with him or to gain my salvation. He's done that for me. It's finished. Enough. It's done. Completed. But now I'm free to go be his example in this earth. I have been set free. I don't have to say everything perfect all the time. I don't have to live dogmatically. I get to go love people and point them back to Jesus. I get to be me. Because here's what happens. When you're afraid of the law, it actually affects how you make choices. It actually, you go into self-preservation because you don't want to do it wrong. You don't want to hurt, or you don't want to hurt somebody else, or you don't want to mess up. But when we're free from that, we get to go love people, and we get to express the story of salvation to other people, and we get to say, man, it is not about anything I've done. It is all about what Jesus did. That's powerful because of what he's done for us on that cross. And to do anything less, to not pick up that free gift, and run with it and go, no, I really appreciate it, but I'm going to go back to this other, these rules and these standards. I'm going to get there on my own. If you're like me, you find value. Our egos get in the way. We find value in when we're a good person. We find value in when I've done it right. We find value in when I followed all the rules and I'm a good girl and I got promoted on my own because of my own good works. We like that. That's the world we live in, and that's the world we want to live in. And Jesus came and said, it actually has nothing to do with that. You actually could never work your way into this. You could never be so perfect because you were born into a world full of sin. This was the only way. But our egos get in the way of having a true, open, full relationship with him. Because whether we consciously or subconsciously do, we go, no, again, thank you for what you've done. But I think I got it from here, God. He said, but it's finished. Why would you go back? We read about it in the Old Testament all the time. What did the Israelites do? They were freed, set free, provided for, had their path set before them. And what'd they say? I think I'll go back to slavery. That might be easier than this. Because guess what? It is not easy being authentically who God created you to be. It puts you in a vulnerable place. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to have your good be spoken evil of. Yet, Jesus said, this is the way. Pick up your cross and follow me. Love unconditionally. Forgive over and over and over again. Yes, we make mistakes. Pick yourself up, though, and continue. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in that despair. You don't have to stay in that in that pain. You don't have to stay in that suffering. You can come out and be who I've fully created you to be. Full of love. Full of adventure. Full of life. Full of speaking the truth to other people. Pointing everybody all the time back to the cross. We are a new creation. And when we get our identity from him, not our good works, not our job, not who our family says we are, but our identity is in him, then we get to go authentically live who we've been created to be. But it's done. Why would we go back? Why would we pick up that way? And I will tell you, that's so easy to say, yeah, I'm just, freedom. I get to be who I want to be, and I don't have to worry about making mistakes. It's a deeper responsibility than that sometimes. Being who you've been really created to be is intimidating sometimes. And yet that is truly where we find our freedom and find what God has for us. And so as we go, yes, he got off that cross. He came out of that tomb. It's a beautiful story. But it started with three little words. It is finished. It's done. Don't go back to that. Don't go back to that. Holding the law over one another's heads and yourself. Don't let your ego get in the way that, man, if I just did this right, or if I just said this, I say this all the time, I'll go home today and go, if I just would have said it differently. No. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's the Heavenly Father saying to you today? We can all apply it differently. But it is done. It was a beautiful gift. We are so grateful. There's nothing we can do but have gratitude. We are full of gratitude for what he's done. Humbling ourselves, going, there's no way I would have ever got there. The highest achiever in this room could not get there on their own. They had to have the blood of Jesus. And he freely and willingly gave it for us. What a disrespectful thing to say. Thank you, but I'm going to try it my own way. Heavenly Father, we just thank you as we continue the service today that we can just pause and acknowledge what you've done. Your death, your burial, and your resurrection absolutely radically changed this world, where today it is still a hot topic, full of discussion and debate, which you do not shy away from, you're not afraid of. But Lord, as Christ followers, as we proclaim that we are Christ followers, help us to live authentically as you created us to be, May people see our lives and go, oh, they've done it all right. They've got every, not say that, but say, oh, no, but they have a relationship with Jesus and he's drawn them in. Maybe I can be drawn into. Maybe I can have a relationship with him too. Maybe I can hear his guidance, the Holy Spirit speak to me and lead me. Maybe I can have that too in my life. May we point to you in all that we do. It's nothing. It's not about us at all. It's not how great or how hard of a worker we are or how much we achieve in this world. It's literally all about what you did on that cross. And we are grateful and thankful. In your name I pray.